Luka Doncic wants to make some big moves to the Mavs, or does he? And Ja Morant and the gang take on the Cavs and win. Why does no one believe in the Grizzlies? We'll talk about that and more on today's Locked On NBA. Let's go.
You are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome. You are locked on to the NBA. My name is Nick Engsted, host of the Locked On Mavericks podcast. Thanks for making Locked On NBA your first listen each and every day. We are free and available on all podcast platforms, including YouTube, where the best way you can help us grow the show, grow the channel, is to comment below. Who are your two stars of the night? Was it the Kings fans in the Staples Center that were chanting, "Light the Beam"? Was it Ja Morant taking on the Cavs? Let us know in the comment section below. Joining me, as always, on a Thursday, host of Locked On Bulls, what you got for me, Pat the Designer?
Can we start calling Ja Morant the long arm of justice? Because, you know, one arm longer than the other? I don't know.
We can call him whatever you want. On today's show, we'll talk about Luka Doncic's comments and not comments and denial of comments, Mark Cuban's denial of those comments, and then the comments again. What should the Mavericks do? Do they want to make changes? We'll talk about the Cavs being taken down by the Memphis Grizzlies in a great one. Great game between the two. Why don't people believe in the Grizzlies? Talk about that. And then, of course, we'll play Count It Up, where we play. We talk about the most interesting, fun things in the NBA, including Stan Van Gundy not knowing some vernacular on Twitter with Kevin Durant. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But let's get into this. Luka Doncic, according to sources at ESPN, Luka Doncic, quote, who hasn't shown a desire to be involved in personnel matters in the past, has strongly indicated he wants the Mavs to upgrade before the February 9th trade deadline. So you take this from Luka, and it's true. In the past, he said, I don't want to be involved. I don't want to be involved in roster moves. He's been asked multiple times, hey, do you want to have say in the free agency this summer or in the draft this summer or whatever? And as all these different milestones and events come, he's been asked, do you want to be involved in any of this? He's 23 years old. He's been with the Mavericks. This is his fifth year now. He's still kind of learning how things work in the NBA at times. And they asked him, and now, according to ESPN, he strongly indicated he wants the Mavericks to make a big upgrade. The Mavericks have been disappointing this year. The roster on Luka has been disappointing for the most part. And then Mark Cuban gets on the old email machine and decides to send a message to McMahon and denies that Luka Doncic indicated he wanted the roster to be upgraded before the trade deadline. Quote, Tim McMahon got it dead wrong. Pat, imagine that you're Mark Cuban and you're emailing Tim McMahon and you say in your email, Tim McMahon got it dead wrong talking to Tim McMahon. This is exactly what I think happened knowing the landscape here in Dallas. Quote, Tim McMahon got it dead wrong. Luka has never suggested, asked, demanded, or discussed changes to the roster. Luka and Nico have a great relationship, talking about Nico Harrison. They talk almost daily. Luka knows what we have going on and is very supportive. Then Luka, after the game against the Hawks, the Mavericks lose. They can't defend to save their lives. Luka is asked about this by Tim Cato of The Athletic, and Luka says, obviously, people who are next to me, who I talk to, they know that the report is not true. I didn't say anything about that. I talked to Nico Harrison. I talked to Michael Finley, who's in the front office for the Mavs, more than I used to. That's just the way I talk to them. We have great communication, and that just stays between us. Oh, Pat the Designer, what's your reaction when you hear a player like this or like Luka come out and there's reports that he wants the roster to be upgraded, but then publicly he's like, no, I didn't really say that.
Here's the thing, right? Behind closed doors, we know what the players feel. We know how a lot of players talk, and that doesn't come out in the media. Or if it does get out in the media, it's instant denial. It's instant, right? I have to look like a good teammate. I have to look like a good guy in front of all these guys. But at the end of the day, we 110% know what these guys are trying to do on the back end, right? Because guess what? They understand that there's a finite time for them to win, and they want to have the best opportunity to win that they can. I think that Luka probably at some point did speak about, you know, possibly having an upgrade happen to the roster. I'm not going to say that he was like, hey, I hate all the guys here, trade everybody. I think that that's asinine to think, right? And I'm sure that there's people that have taken that to the highest scale. But I mean, listen, you look at this Mavericks team and you see that they have had an inability to really just replace Jalen Brunson at a minimum, right? And so
why you got to bring that up?
I mean, honestly, right? Like you and even right, the guys that you look at and you're like, maybe they could replace them offensively. Don't always find their way on the court when Luka's on the court at the same time. You know what I mean? So I think that there's a lot of things that go into this, but I wouldn't be surprised if Luka Doncic was like, hey, help.
Here's what I think happened. So recently in Dallas, there's an artist that put up a mural in Deep Ellum, which is near downtown Dallas. And it had Luka Doncic with this banner that said, please send help. And it went viral, and a bunch of people were talking about it. We talked about it on Locked On Mavs. And then it came back. Then Mark Cuban was asked about it. He said it was disrespectful to the other, you know, the other Mavericks players, and said that, you know, that that wouldn't represent what Luka would think. And then Luka and his team reached out to this guy and basically told him, take it down, and we'll collaborate with you on making a new one. We don't want to make, like, Luka's teammates look bad, basically. And so with Luka, I think you're exactly right. He's not going to put the rest of his teammates on blast. He's not going to go out there and be like, we need upgrades and we need to do it now. What I said on Locked On Mavs today, I'll say here. He's not giving the Mavericks an ultimatum this season, at least. He's not going to them and saying, the report is, you know, he strongly indicated he wants the Mavs to upgrade before the February 9th trade deadline. So that's like, we need to make moves right now. We need to do something this season. He's not. Mark Cuban and Luka are denying that he did that. That he did the ultimatum. That he did. Yeah. It has to be a deadline, a demand at a certain time. He of course wants the roster to be better. Of course. Watch Luka. Some of you may have not watched the Mavericks much this year, and I do not blame you at times. If you watch Luka play any amount of time with JaVale McGee, who is the Mavs' only like free agent signing this offseason, you know Luka wants this roster to be upgraded. He cannot stand any time he plays JaVale McGee on the floor this year. And you can really tell at times, especially even tonight. JaVale played like 2 minutes, and you can tell Luka was so frustrated the whole time he was out there. The Mavericks need to make moves. But when is the next time the Mavericks can make a big move? Because I don't think it can be this trade deadline. They can't trade any of their first. They finally get out from under the Porzingis picks that they sent out to the Knicks this draft. Once that protected pick is gone, they have all their first round picks, and it's coming this summer. What's a big enough move do you think that the Mavericks could make this summer that would placate some of this from Luka and wanting the roster to be upgraded?
I think it's really about what direction you want to go with it, right? Like, do you want to go get a veteran piece that's going to be a solid role player? I think you've got some of those on this team already, right? Like you don't. You want to find another star. Then you have to ask yourself, are you going to get another star to come to Dallas and actually stick around, right? I think the one thing that I've noticed about European players is that they stick with their teams usually for the long haul. Giannis re-upped, Jokic re-upped, right? Those are the players that they kind of stick to. I would assume that, I mean, Luka re-upped, of course.
My poster of Dirk Nowitzki on my back wall. Literally,
Dirk is very different.
I walked by his statue today. It says, loyalty never fades away. Like, oh man, there is a legacy of that.
And so, right, you know that you're at a minimum hoping, right, that Luka Doncic is going to be a part of this team for a long time. Yeah. So I think then you might even want to focus more so, like you talked about with the draft capital coming up. Maybe you know what Luka is, moving a couple of these veteran pieces to see if you can find some of these young pieces around the NBA that are on teams that are just overflowing with young pieces, right? Like, start calling OKC, start calling Houston, start, you know what I mean? Orlando, some of those teams that you're like, you guys aren't going anywhere. We need some young pieces that we can pair with him. I think that's the direction it would be best for the Mavs to go. What do you think? I mean, what do you think is going to put them in a position, maybe not to win this season, go to the NBA Finals, but for the long run, Luka needs a running mate.
Even before the Porzingis trade to Washington, like the Dinwiddie-Porzingis trade, the Mavericks knew they needed to get another star. Before the Western Conference Finals run, they knew they needed to get another star. It's one of the dumb reasons they decided not to re-sign Brunson, or to not give Brunson, you know, to match the money that the Knicks were going to give him and then some, right? To do everything they can to keep him this summer, which reports are going back and forth whether they could have really kept him if they ponied up and all that. One of their reasons they made up was that he's not a perfect fit next to Luka. We need to find that perfect fit. They didn't think they were a championship level team even during their Western Conference Finals run. They said we overachieved this year. How quickly in exit interviews did Nico Harrison and Jason Kidd, after the post game of the final game against the Warriors, said that we've overachieved this year. Like, they were so quick to say that. They knew that they needed to make roster upgrades, and they've been waiting on this. And I've said, as soon as they get their picks back, it's got to be, you know, they've got to make a move either in the offseason or sometime during next season or sometime during next offseason, like 2024 offseason. I pulled back on that recently. They got to make a move this summer. It's got to be a big move. It has to be one of these Bradley Beal finally wants out from Washington. It's a, you know, one of the Timberwolves guys gets disgruntled and wants to leave, like, you know, Towns or somebody. It's got to be a perennial all-star type guy that Luka doesn't have to get the best out of, right? That can come in and actually be something good on this Mavericks team. And they probably have to be good defensively. Those two examples I didn't give are any good, so maybe not them specifically, but yeah. That's what they have to do. They have to make that move. Luka's not demanding it to happen right now, but for the Mavericks to keep Luka long-term, they have to make it this summer, and I'm sticking with that. So coming up, let's talk about the Memphis Grizzlies and the Cavs. Great game between the two, but why don't people believe in the Grizzlies? We'll talk about that coming up. But before we do, let me tell you about Built Bar. It's a protein bar. Tastes like a candy bar. They're delicious. I ordered some new ones. The Brownie Batter Puffs. Oh, that's my favorite Built Bar. I love that one. They came out with that one pretty recently, and they re-upped. The Puffs have marshmallow fluff in the middle of them, chocolate on the outside. Tastes like brownie batter. They're delicious. 140 calories, 17 grams of protein, 6 grams of sugar. They're good like frozen, and they're good really warm when like the chocolate's just about to, like, right at the point of melting and right at the point of freezing. They're good in either direction. So no matter what climate you live in, no matter where you live right now in the country, Built Bars are great for you. Go check them out. And the macros are great too. If your New Year's resolution was to lose some weight, which is definitely one of mine, Built Bars are going to be great for you. You can get them right now at Walmart. You can get them at Sam's Club. Select flavors are at both of those places. You can also still get them on the website. Maybe try Locked15 as a promo code. I don't know if I'm supposed to tell you that. But go check it out. Built Bar, it's built.com. All right, Pat, thanks for making Locked On Mavs your... Dang it. Thanks for making Locked On NBA your first listen today. You can make Locked On Mavs or Locked On Bulls your first listen.
Locked On Bulls.
We hope you're your second listen today. But... let's talk about Cavs versus Grizzlies. The Cleveland Cavaliers fall to the Grizzlies 115-114. It was one of those back and forth games where Donovan Mitchell did not play. Memphis Grizzlies were pretty much healthy. Ja Morant did leave in the first quarter with a groin injury. He ends up coming back in the second quarter, ends up being fine, as you can tell, the rest of the game. Second quarter, Memphis goes on a 20-0 run. 20-0 run against the Cavs, and they build up a 19-point lead. The Cavs cut that lead to 5 at halftime. The Memphis run was just the bench just outrunning the Cavs bench, and then Cleveland coming back was just Cleveland hitting a bunch of threes, 5 of 6 threes at the end of the first half. They end up cutting it to 5. Fourth quarter comes in, and it's just back and forth haymakers. It's Mobley making a bunch of really big plays. It's Ja Morant getting to the free throw line. It's a Steven Adams putback. It's a Dylan Brooks block. It's a Jaren Jackson Jr. great defensive play. And the Grizzlies get this win. They gut it out. This Grizzlies team has now won 11 games in a row. They are first in the NBA in defense, 5th in the NBA in offense. Why don't people believe in this Memphis Grizzlies team?
I don't know, because you know what? They have something that a lot of teams that, you know, that you look at around the NBA just don't have. And it's that mix of we're young, we're gritty, we're scrappy, we're going to fight for everything that we need with actual star talent to put that into use, right? A lot of the younger teams in the NBA, you always get the grit. You always get the grime. You always get the, hey, we're going to attack you constantly. You're not going to have an opportunity to rest. Versus the older teams in the NBA, they kind of want to take their time. They want to be methodical. They want to go through their system. You're getting the best of both worlds because you have a point guard that is running this team that has probably one of the highest IQs in the NBA right now. Mm. So you need to absolutely start believing in the Memphis Grizzlies, because this kid, Ja Morant, absolutely knows. He's playing like he's been here before. And the other guy that I'm looking at, and that to me is probably the guy that makes the biggest difference and really locks down this team defensively in the middle. Jaren Jackson. Huge. And how he just forces. I mean, literally, he's a more agile and a little bit more offensive version of Rudy Gobert, right? Not as tall, of course, but like how he defends the rim, how he protects the rim, literally turns people away. That makes you more confident as a team when you know you have that guy standing back there. I look at this Grizzlies team as a legit problem in the Western Conference, and you could be talking about them in a Western Conference Finals for sure.
The reason the Grizzlies are good, you saw it in this game against the Cavs. You saw it in that second quarter. It was a bench run between out there. You had Desmond Bane kind of running a bench unit out there, and they just ran the Cavs bench off the floor. It was, you know, like Brandon Clark and Chanchar and, you know, so and Tyus Jones and like some of these guys off the bench. They can beat you in multiple ways. Their bench can beat you. They can beat you with bigs, like you said, with Jaren Jackson. They can beat you with attacking. Like, they have so many different answers for things. If you want to go big, they played Jaren Jackson Jr. and Steven Adams to close this game out. They can play both those guys to close the game. If you need mobile bigs, you can play Jaren Jackson at the five. You can play Brandon Clark at the five. Santi Aldama is a mobile big. If you need threes, Desmond Bane, great shooter. Tyus Jones, great shooter. Jaren Jackson Jr. can shoot the three. Santi Aldama, Chanchar can give you threes. Even you can get some threes from Brooks and Ja Morant even, but you don't rely on them for threes.
Yeah.
If you need playmaking, you get Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, Tyus Jones. You want attacking, Ja Morant, the best maybe in the NBA at doing that. Wing defenders, well, you got the wild card in Dylan Brooks that can give you random stuff, that can give you a game-winning block, that can give you 25 points in a random game. You have that. They still have young guys, too, that are kind of not accounted for. David Roddy, Laravia, Zaire Williams, like all guys that were like first-ish round picks and can give you stuff at any given time. We'll see if they make any kind of trade, but they just have answers in so many different ways. But people don't believe in them. Right now, Bet Online, our partner, Boston, number one, plus 400 to win the title. Milwaukee, plus 700, number two. Brooklyn Nets, plus 800, number three. Golden State Warriors, plus 800. It's the first West team. Denver plus 900, second West team, and then Memphis plus 1,000, Clippers plus 1,200. Why are the Grizzlies just slightly above the Clippers and below the Nuggets and below the Warriors in title odds right now?
I think the one thing that you look at with that team, right, is with all those other teams there, I should say, is the fact that the big on that team, and I'm just talking about height-wise, length-wise, different things like that, right? You look at Brooklyn, Kevin Durant, 7 feet tall, one of the best shooters in the NBA, best offensive player, arguably in NBA history at times. You look at Giannis, one of the most dominant players we've ever seen in the NBA. Can't stop him, won't stop him. That big man position being the focal point, right? You look at Denver, you cannot stop Jokic. You just can't. Give up.
Me personally,
That to me, I think changes a lot of perception and changes the game, because in the modern NBA, right, like Ja Morant being the guard that he is, can he get to the bucket? Yes. Can he do a lot of great things? Yes. But it's about how are you going to be able to slow down the best player on that team? And Ja Morant really doesn't have an impact on that. Now you're looking at Jaren Jackson Jr., not to say that he can't, not to say that he's not a difference maker. He should have been arguably defensive player of the year last year with the stats he put up. I think he could try and make another case for it this year. But do you feel confident that he's going to slow down Jokic, Giannis, Kevin Durant? Do you feel confident that he's going to slow down Jason Tatum, who is, I believe, is 6'10", 6'11", as well? You know what I mean? Like, those are the kind of guys that he's going to be matching up with. And I think that's the part where, yes, I love this Memphis team, and I think they could be a Western Conference Finals team. But when you look at the center position, you got to a point last season in the playoffs where you couldn't even throw Steven Adams on the floor because you couldn't match up well that were in that position.
I agree with you on the bigs part. They at least have answers to throw at those guys.
Yes.
Or at least things that you can try. You're not going to stop, or you're just going to try to slow down any of those guys. But I think it's a combination of two things. The Grizzlies have played the fewest clutch games in the NBA this year. They either blow teams out or they get blown out. The Mavericks blew out the Grizzlies by like 30 this year. And then the Grizzlies have blown out a bunch of teams. They've only played 17 clutch games. In those clutch games, they have the third ranked offense. So they're scoring 120 points per 100 possessions in the clutch. Great. Awesome offense. 21st defense. They are the first defense in the NBA, but 21st defense in clutch. They really rely on scoring in these types of clutch situations, and they're 12-5 in clutch games this year. So like, they're doing well in that. But they're 22nd in the NBA in half-court scoring. That's where I think people don't believe in the Grizzlies, is when everything slows down, when it's in the clutch and things matter, can they score? They rely on their offense in the clutch, and it's worked so far in the regular season, but their half-court offense in general is not the best in the NBA. Where you look at some of these other teams we've talked about, Boston, number one in the NBA in half-court offense. Denver, number four in the NBA in half-court offense. Brooklyn, number five in the NBA in half-court offense. Even Dallas is number two, where you look at, I think a lot of people would pick the Mavs over the Grizzlies. I think they would be wrong at this point, but you just look at what Luka can do and how he can command an offense, and people don't believe in Ja Morant like that. Now, I believe in the rest of the cast around Ja Morant way more than the Mavs, and I think that the difference between Ja and Luka and the difference between the supporting cast, is enough that I would definitely pick the Grizzlies over the Mavericks right now, and probably over everybody in the West. If it's a Grizzlies, Nuggets, Western Conference Finals right now, who are you picking?
I would probably go with the Nuggets because of the size, the length. You got MPJ, he's 6'10". He's able to knock down shots all over the court. Not going to defend anybody, but my God, can he shoot? You've got Jokic, another big man, right? Like we talked about, he is everything on this team. Supporting cast, right? Jokic didn't need a supporting cast to get him to the playoffs last year with a bunch of guys in Denver that we were like, oh yeah, he does play for that team. And now he's got Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray back. So I think that I would have to go with the Nuggets in that situation. Does that mean that it's going to be a quick series, not a hard fought series? Not at all. I think that you'd be talking about a series that ends up going seven, but when it comes down to it, right, it's like the NBA starting to realize again, hey, tall guys matter in this league. There was like this real shift
everybody had a stretch four
that was like between 6'5 and 6'9, you know what I mean? Like you're sitting there looking at these guys and you're like, hey, like, yeah, there's a lot of guards in a lot of these lineups, and now teams are starting to be like, hey, these tall guys shoot well. And they're more important because they don't have to jump that high to put the ball in the hoop.
Coming up, let's play our favorite game every week. Count it up. Where we count out the most interesting, fun things in the NBA, including Stan Van Gundy not knowing what spitting means. And Ja Morant getting drug tested. We'll talk about that and more coming up. But before we do, let me tell you about Bet Online. We just talked about Bet Online's championship odds. Boston, number one. Milwaukee, number two, plus 700. There's a pretty sizable gap between Boston and Milwaukee. Should there be, Pat? Should there be that big of a gap? Betting wise,
no, there shouldn't be. It's so tough, but no, there shouldn't be, because Milwaukee's got me scratching my head a little bit.
If you're one of the people that are sitting there saying, I don't know why people don't believe in the Grizzlies, you can put your money where your mouth is. Plus $1,000 to win the title right now. You can put down $100 and you can win $1,000 if they win the title right now. Go check it out. It's Bet Online. It's where the game starts. All right, Pat, it's that time of the day, of the week, where we play our favorite game. Count it up, count it up, count it up, count it. Where we count out the most interesting, fun things in the NBA, including, oh man, this was, as soon as I saw this today, I was like, oh, I'm so glad this happened on a Wednesday where we can talk about it on Locked On NBA. I was like, this is a count it up for sure. Stan Van Gundy, former coach in the NBA, now ESPN broadcaster, tweeted, 90s NBA teams had just a trainer and a strength coach. They practiced more often and harder and played more back-to-backs. Teams now have huge medical and quote-unquote performance staffs and value rest over practice. Yet injuries and games missed are way up. Something's not working. Then serial tweeter himself, Kevin Durant, is injured and got some time on his hands. And he said, quote, Stan spitting in a response to Stan Van Gundy. Stan Van Gundy then responded to Stan spitting from Kevin Durant and said, no, I'm not criticizing players. I'm saying that we are getting something wrong in how we prepare and how we train players. We can't do anything about injuries like yours. He fell on your leg, but all these groin hamstring injuries shouldn't be happening as they are. Kevin Durant responded, Stan, I agree with you. LOL. And then Twitter user Felipe says, spitting means you're speaking facts, Stan. And Stan Van Gundy said, had no idea.
Count it up.
Count it up. How, what? Oh, I'm dying at Stan not knowing.
Count it up.
How many times do you think Stan Van Gundy in a huddle, a player said something to him he didn't know what it was?
Oh, man, recently? Probably every day. Yeah, I mean, like, probably every single day.
Jalen Rose walks by him in the hallway at ESPN, and he's like, I don't know what Jalen just said to me.
What's his last team that he coaches in New Orleans?
Was it the Pistons?
No, wasn't he with the Pelicans 1 year, 2 years, something like that?
That sounds right.
So I mean, you're dealing with young Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram, and he had no idea what these guys are talking about. They're just sitting there like, "Hey, coach, don't be capping."
Yeah, he coached. Remember, yeah, he coached in 2021 for the Pistons. For
yeah, yeah. They're just coach, don't be capping. Capping, but I'm not wearing a hat. What are we talking about?
This
here?
Is a 20-year-old Zion. This is a JJ Redick was on that team. He was 36-year-old. JJ Redick was the oldest guy.
Is Redick and are the real crowning it up is, are Redick and Stan Van Gundy equally confused together at times with what the young guys were bringing in? You know what I mean? That's
JJ
that's
went to college, the conversation like 40 I want to hear. James Johnson was on that team. Imagine James Johnson trying to explain anything to Stan Van Gundy.
Scary.
Ja Morant has been going off this week and going off this whole season. They're on an 11-game winning streak. And he tweeted this week, "Been drug tested like 6 times this season. Walked into the arena and found out I got another one today." This was the day after he yammed on Jakob Poeltl again. Another huge dunk where he cocked it back as far as you could cock it back. Pat,
count it up.
How many drug tests is enough? Like, how many times before the Players Association just steps in and is like,
count it up.
We need to stop drug testing Ja Morant.
They never...
7 times in half a season so far? 7 times in half a season.
Here's the thing.
What are we testing for?
They'll never stop what's making his arm longer. They'll never stop... Because
he's got Fantastic Four serum.
The
cosmic rays are all over Ja Morant. He's found a way to inject them.
Yes.
6 is 7 is too many, NBA. Can we stop drug testing Ja Morant? Okay. He's clean. Unless he wasn't, and we don't know.
You know, I think I'm not going to hate on how they're doing it. At least it's at the arena, right? Like, they're not showing up to the crib on these, I don't think. So at least it's at the arena. Like, he's just going there. Maybe he had to use the bathroom anyway. You know what I mean? The NFL, they just knock on your door and they're like, I come into your house now.
I will stick
and
you.
And watch you pee. Yeah, can you imagine that, Dolly? I'm going to just show up at your crib and I'm going to watch you pee.
I got nothing left. Drink this.
Get some water together.
Drink this Gatorade here. Oh, my gosh. The Kings, in a clutch game, beat the Lakers in and take the season series this year. They have beat the Lakers in the season series this season. Tonight, there were reports of a "Light the Beam" chant in the artist formerly known as Staples Center. Pat,
count it up.
What's something else you think you thought would never happen in a Lakers building, in a Lakers arena? A Kings chant in a Lakers arena is wild.
The other thing that I thought would never happen was we'd be calling it the Crypto Arena. I never thought that would happen a day in our life. I don't know.
I don't think I ever thought that I would look at a LeBron and Anthony Davis led team and start to think, you know what? How high is that Pelicans pick that Lakers gave the Pelicans right now? I never thought I would hear that.
I literally was thinking, I was like, man, I wonder what Zion and Wembanyama are going to look like. You know what I mean? Like, that's really where we're at in the season. No, I think the other one is, you know, I never thought I'd look at Russell Westbrook and be like, hell of a role player, man.
Really taking coming off the bench well. Like, really.
Really, really doing a great job. Darvin Ham, really getting the most out of this team, which also isn't good, but I really do feel like he's getting the most out of this team.
I never thought I would look at a Lakers team and be like, damn, they really miss Austin Reeves. They could really use Austin Reeves to come back.
I never thought that I'd look at a Lakers building and just be like, hey, this would be a better game if the Clippers were playing. Never. I never thought I'd just, you know, I really wish the Clippers were getting this matchup right here. This
would be, you remember when the Clippers used to cover the banners and like put their own banners of just like players? Like, we don't have any accolades to cover the banners with, but we will cover them with giant posters of Blake Griffin and Eric Bledsoe and whoever else.
Blake Griffin, dog. It was like Chris Kamen. Come on, dog. you're going too soon on that one. Right? Like young Chris Kamen going to work out there.
Remember Lakers Chris Kamen laying across the Lakers bench? Because there wasn't enough players to play in that game, and he fouled out.
Yeah. It's been some dark Lakers moments over the years, though. There's been some really high highs,
and many NBA fans really are celebrating every single moment the Lakers lose in this season. That is for sure. Okay, my last one. I have a couple more, but I'll do this last one. Mark Stein reported that the Knicks have redoubled their efforts to find a new home for Cam Reddish, with essentially 3 weeks to go until the deadline. Sources tell the Stein line, Mark Stein, the Dallas Mavericks have joined the Milwaukee Bucks and the Los Angeles Lakers to try and vie for Cam Reddish's services.
Count it up.
How big is the Cam Reddish army, really? And why does he get so much attention? Why are we still talking about Cam Reddish? He's had multiple trade requests. My guy had like 22 points in a playoff game once. He goes on these stretches where he scores like 20 points in a game. And all of a sudden, all these commenters, all these people on Twitter are like, Cam's the guy. Trade everything you can get to go get Cam Reddish because he's the next one.
I think the thing with Cam Reddish supporters is that you never thought that he was given a fair shake, honestly, right? Like, I mean, Atlanta, you thought he was given a little bit more of a fair shake. But since he's been with the Knicks, right, I mean, literally, like, Tom Thibodeau basically has said, oh, by the way, no, we're starting to streak back up. Tom Thibodeau has basically said we're back, baby. Tom Thibodeau has basically said, you're not going to play defense. You're useless in the modern NBA. And I'm just standing there looking around like, has Tom Thibodeau made it to the modern NBA? Because
it's come back. Around. Joakim Noah could play really well in today's NBA.
And Nick calls him Joakim Noah.
Sorry. What's that?
Another one. Joakim? Joakim. It's just Joakim Noah. Or Joakim Noah. Whichever. I'll allow both of them.
Sorry.
You're like the announcers that they used to get them when we were on ESPN. Joakim or Joakim. It was like, okay, dog.
Sorry.
Joakim.
Sorry, Joakim Noah.
Joakim Noah.
I don't get the Cam Reddish stands. There's lots of them. You may be one of them listening, but I don't understand it. But the fair shake thing is definitely true. He didn't get a chance at Duke because he was playing under RJ Barrett and Zion. He didn't get a chance with the Hawks because of Trae Young and because of the coaching changes. He didn't get a chance with the Knicks now because of Thibodeau. It's like over and over again, he didn't get a chance. Like, hey, at a certain point, like, you're the bad roommate. Like, if your roommates continue to be bad, it's you that's the bad roommate.
I also want to know what a chance means. You know what I mean? Like, for me, right? Listen, if you go to the Dallas Mavericks and they give you 15 points a game or 15 minutes a game, and you can't show that you can play, that's a chance, my boy. Like, you've got to reaffirm that you're supposed to be in this NBA as well. So
there you go. Let us know in the comment section below. What's the deal with Cam Reddish? But also, let us know who your two stars are of the night. Go check out Locked On NBA Game to Game. Great stuff from across the NBA. Guys like us breaking down our teams that we know we cover every single day, every single game. So check out Locked On NBA Game to Game on this YouTube channel, this podcast feed, or wherever you get your podcast. Guys, thanks so much for listening to Locked On NBA. Boom!
Bye-bye.